Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My weekly cleaning advice column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Esquire.com, and a companion post to this episode containing show notes appears on Deadspin.com. You should send your questions about cleaning or anything else, really, to JolieKerr@gmail.com. Or just chat with me in the comments at Deadspin. Hey, you guys. I have an old friend and colleague here with me today in the studio. And he holds a really, really special place in my universe because he is basically the reason the hairpin exists. And if the hairpin didn't exist, there would be no Ask a Clean Person. So it's my pleasure to welcome David Cho to our show today. Hey, David. Yay, Cho is in the studio. You guys, I'm really excited about this.
Don't mind me. Just applauding for myself because no one else was. Producer woman behind me.
I'm applauding for you. I'm so excited you're here. Yeah. I really, really am. This is going to be a super fun episode.
Honestly, I think this will be great.
I truly have been looking so forward to this. You guys, let me tell you a little bit about Cho. He's so special to me. He was the founding publisher of The All in the Hairpin, which is, as I think most people know, where I got my start. As a blogger, first at The All, where I did mostly like recipe stuff, and then over at The Hairpin, where I launched Ask a Clean Person and where it lived for almost 3 years, and where I got my book deal and all of that kind of stuff.
It's a great place.
Great place, and it just holds such a special place in my heart. He then went on to be the founding publisher of Grantland, which also is a great place.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Grantland. He's a very smart and very cool guy. And he also happens to be, I know moms aren't supposed to play favorites, but he is my favorite student because he asks really great and probing questions of me. And we're gonna talk a little bit about that in the second segment. In the first segment, however, we're going to talk about cleaning sneakers because Cho has a really impressive sneaker collection. And I figured that the topic would speak to his interests. Then over in the second segment, we're going to take on a real question that he actually just asked of me. We have a great text relationship.
It's mostly me being like, okay, I spilled this. What do I do now?
Yeah. And I love it. But the thing is that that's actually not exactly how you ask questions. You ask questions in a different way. And I want to highlight that because I think that it will be really illuminating for people to learn how you approach asking questions of me so that they can find the answers that they need. I mean, look, you have access to me in a way that most listeners can't text me, you know.
They could.
I don't give them my phone number because
I will. Don't worry.
No,
listeners.
You will not. No, you will not. No, you will not.
I will say, though, I have learned one thing in texting you because I used to text you just about the first thing that came into my brain.
Okay.
Which is, I realized was rude because you'd be like, I wrote about this already. So I started Googling things first and then asking my questions based on the Googling.
Yes. And I noticed that and I appreciate it. And also, it's fine if you were doing it the first way.
Like, I don't know. It's selfish.
But I appreciate it.
Your time is precious.
I recognized exactly what you were doing, that you were like, oh, you know what? Wait a minute. I can...
Hey, teach Amanda fish.
Right. Exactly.
That cadence was weird. Amanda fish.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's exactly it. Okay. Before we get into it, I want to remind you that I offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to my premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite my show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person, the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to check out all of the packages I'm offering and to select the level of giving that's right for you. Your support helps me so much, and I'd love to hear from you if there are rewards you'd like me to consider making available. We have, thrillingly enough, a ton of new patrons. Deadspin, you guys have come through. I love you. I'm having more fun than I've had in ages with you guys. I really appreciate it. I'm going to hold off on reading the names until next week for two reasons. One, we have a lot to cover today, a lot of really, really good information about the sneaker stuff, and then Cho being such a great student. And then also, I also kind of, you know, my little tenderhearted self, I want to wait until Dave is back, Dave Lozo, not Dave Cho. Your regularly scheduled Dave will indeed be back. So that he can French up all of your names, because I know that he really enjoys that. And I know you guys do, too, because I hear from you. So we will do the big full patron reading next week on episode 81, which is also, you guys, my birthday episode. Get excited for that. Because I'm going to totally indulge in, like, a whole lot of, like, real Joelish content.
If you're hearing a week later, her birthday's already happened. You should wish her happy birthday.
My birthday is on August 8th. 8-8. It's very easy to remember. Also very lucky.
Mine's 8-28. So no big deal. But that's the cutoff of the astrological thing.
Are you a cusp, baby?
Yeah, I'm a Virgo.
You're technically Virgo, not Leo. Yeah, I'm Leo. All right. Well, listen, let's get into it, because as I said, we really do have a lot.
I'm so nervous about reading.
Don't be nervous. I know Joe texted me today, and he's like, oh, my God, what if I forget how to read? I'm like, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Okay, so I'm going to have you read the first question from Susie.
Hello, Susie. So Susie asks, so here's my question. But first, a little background. My man, oh my gosh, has a very nice pair of all-white Nike sneakers that are leather with rubber soles. I think I do a mighty fine job of keeping them clean, open parentheses, and he always thanks me for it, exclamation point, close parentheses.
Good work, Susie's man.
Since he wears them to work a lot. Cool. Well, today, he had no choice but to hike in them at an out-of-work retreat and couldn't change his shoes. So he said he got them all dirty and effed up. He was pretty upset about it, too. So I reassured him that they were just shoes and that I would use some witchcraft, oh my gosh, on them this weekend.
Yeah.
He also said,
I bet she was one of my hairpin readers.
Oh, are they big on witches?
Oh, yeah. The hairpin?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about our Wiccan community.
Yeah. I'm one of them.
Oh, my goodness. I guess, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Only a witch would clean so well, right, guys?
That's true.
He also said he put them in the shower to try to clean them and that it helped a little. Susie, might be time to get a new man. I don't know.
No.
The shower? Is that a thing you advocate?
I mean, I don't advocate for it, but I don't disagree with the choice.
Susie dates a 13-year-old boy.
No,
camp.
She doesn't. No, no, no.
When I usually clean them, I use Lysol scrubby wipes and a mild hydrogen peroxide spray. I don't think that'll cut the mustard here. My original thought was to go to OxyClean and possible dreaded bleach route. Sorry. My original thought was to go to the OxyClean and possible dreaded bleach route. I did forget how to read. Could I conceivably do that too? But then I read your book. It's probably the best reference I'll ever own. I treat it like a textbook. Me too. Oh, and look through the leather upholstery section. Obviously, sneakers are a little different from leather upholstery, but could the same method of first cleaning with diluted palm olive in warm water and then using saddle soap do the trick here too? If so, this finally gives me an excuse to buy saddle soap. She has so many exclamation points, and they're so earnest, and I love it.
I know. You know, it's funny. As you were reading this, I'm like, this is exactly how Cho asked me questions. Like, he's done all the research, and he's like, okay, I've distilled all this knowledge, and I've got three possible paths to go down. Like,
honestly,
which is the right one?
I think it's great. I'll ever be as happy as Susie, though. Susie sounds so earnestly happy.
I know.
So she ends up, thanks, two exclamation points. Susie, colon parentheses smiley face, which I was just thinking today. In an emoji world, the colon emoticon means so much more because it feels so much more earnest.
Like, I used it in an email today. That's so funny.
That is honestly, when I have a trick where I know I kind of fucked up or someone's being a real asshole, like a work email, I'll throw in a nice colon, like happy face to kind of like let them know, hey, here's a really earnest offering when you're being a dick or something like that, you know?
Yeah. And there's definitely a lot of that going around. All right, you guys. So, I've got what I'm going to do with this question, because I haven't done a sneaker episode in such a long time, and it's such a good topic and it's so meaty and people really, really care. Big time for sneakers right now. I'm going to start off. I'm going to give the general sneaker care instructions for, then this is for your leather sneakers, your standard sort of, you know, not suede, not knit, all that stuff. We're going to get into knit with the next question, actually, and I'll save suede for later in the year. But basically, for sort of your standard either leather or, like, you know, regular canvas? Like gym sneakers.
Okay.
Canvas is kind of a different animal. Canvas is actually pretty easy. And I'll do like a specialty episode later down the line.
So no Chucks.
Chucks, like, well, that's, I'll do Chucks. Right. I'll do a whole Chucks episode. I think probably. Like, you'll come back for that. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
If you'll have me.
Of course I will. I love having you here. So I'm going to go through my general sneaker care tips, and then I'm going to talk about the deep cleaning stuff to help Susie out. Okay, so here are your general sneaker care tips. To clean them, you don't actually really need anything all that special. You can use, an all-purpose spray. Like, when I was a teenager growing up, I remember my aunt would clean our – my aunt is a clean person like me, and when we were
– Who's cleaner?
Probably Auntie Ellen, actually.
Oh, come on.
She takes it to another level. Like,
I guess now you have to stay for the afterpod to find out why.
Right, to find out why, yeah. She used to, when we would all be, like, at her house for Thanksgiving, she would take all of our sneakers. Like, she was also a very, very early riser, so she would get up at, like, 5 in the morning, she would take all our sneakers, and she would clean them with Fantastic.
Every day?
No, just like when we were there for Thanksgiving.
Oh,
like,
got it.
It just drove her crazy. So that is like any all-purpose spray.
It wasn't even for you. It was for her.
It was literally just for her. Like, because she just wanted things to clean. Yeah, and she would wash our Patagonias for us. Like,
this woman sounds great.
She was amazing. She's amazing. She's my favorite auntie. I love her. Sorry to the other aunties who are listening to this. I love you all. I love you all, aunties. Okay, so an all-purpose spray, and you can either use a sponge or like a Dobie pad, one of your favorite things.
Do people know how great Dobie pads are?
They know because I talk about them, but like, you're really going to talk about them when we get into the second segment.
I bought a 24-pack because I was just like, fuck it, I always need Dobie pads.
Yay!
And then someone was washing my dishes at my apartment, and they're like, what are these pads? And I was like, here, have a box.
I know, they're amazing.
Yeah, they're great.
They're amazing. The other thing that's really great for sneakers is an old toothbrush. Obviously not the one that you're currently using for your mouth, but an old toothbrush is really, really great for getting sort of around the edges and getting into like the
crevices.
Tongue, the crevices, all of that stuff. So an old toothbrush. You don't need anything fancy for general cleaning, for keeping your stuff good. You really don't need any fancy tools. I'm going to talk a little bit about the kits and that kind of stuff. In terms of other cleaning products, you can use good old dish soap. Just dilute a little dish soap into a bowl, put your toothbrush or your Dobie in there, and scrub away.
Can I ask a quick question about dish soap? Like, it feels like dish soap can be so used for everything. Like, shouldn't they make a more specific soap for dishes? Or is it just sort of like...
No, it's just a really great... It's just a great mild detergent.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
I want like a heavier detergent so my dishes are clean.
No, you don't. You don't need it.
You'll be okay.
Yeah, you've lived this long. Yeah, no. The dish soap is great. I live for dish soap. Baking soda is another great one. As Susie said, she's using the scrubby Lysol wipes, and those work for her. The idea is basically you don't need anything super fancy. You've probably got more than one product around the house already that would be great for cleaning your sneakers. Another thing that's really great for sneakers, especially for places that have gotten little scuffs, is the good old Magic Eraser. I've used those a lot on my sneakers just to like get, you know, because I'm at the gym constantly, so I'm sort of always have scuff marks. And I just, you know, wet the Magic Eraser, squeeze it out, rub it right on, the little scuff mark comes right out. It's amazing.
How much time can you wait before you do that? Like, obviously always sooner is better, but like, what's like, when is it too late?
I mean, almost never.
Oh, really?
I mean, with the kind of scuff marks you would be taking out with a Magic Eraser. Magic Erasers really are magic. I mean, to go back to Susie being and me being a witch, yeah.
Witchcraft.
They're really, really great on sneakers. Okay, in terms of technique, there's not anything super important you need to know other than one big thing, which is before you clean your sneakers, you should take the laces out, because a lot of dirt gets trapped in and around the area where the laces is. So if you take them out, you'll be able to get into the tongue and really scrub it, and it's going to make a big difference. You'll be surprised at the difference it makes in the appearance of your sneaker. The other thing that you can do when you take the laces out is you can clean the laces themselves or replace them if they're like too far gone.
Can you put them in a washing machine?
You can. So there are basically two different ways that you would clean your laces once you've removed them from the shoe. If they're really soiled or if you don't feel like putting them in the washing machine for any reason, you can soak them in a little bit of OxiClean and hot water, and that'll brighten them right up. Or a better thing to do, honestly, is just to put them in one of those little mesh washable bags and put them right in the washing machine. You don't want to put them in loose because they'll wind themselves around whatever else is in the washer with them. So do put them in the bag.
Is that an inconvenience thing, or it actually, like, it does it mess up the cleaning process for the thing it wraps up or something?
It doesn't mess up the cleaning process, but it can damage things. So if you have like a very fine cotton shirt and a shoelace gets wrapped around it, it'll warp and stretch and fray the fibers, and you don't want that.
Yeah, no one wants fibers.
Yeah, no, don't fray your fibers. All right, that brings me to the next part of the sort of general sneaker care tips, which is machine washing your sneakers. So
that's what we did as a low-income household growing up. My mom would always put sneakers. And then sometimes my dad would do it, and he would just put it in laces on. And my mom would be like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Just take the laces out.
Take the laces out. Yeah, you always want to take the laces out. So these are the instructions. So look, you know, you want to use your judgment about which pairs of sneakers you're comfortable putting in the washing machine. Like, the sneakers I wear to the gym, yeah, those go in the washing machine. I'm not really detailing those. But, like, a pair of shell toes, I probably wouldn't. It's totally safe to. I just probably wouldn't because those are, like, my dress-up sneakers.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Like, but you know what I mean when I say, like, the difference between, like, your kick-around and your fancy
of
ones.
Course.
And so,
anyway. We all get it.
Yeah, we all get it. I just want to make sure I'm being clear. Okay, so the machine washing instructions are use cold water, take the laces out, put them in a mesh bag, always air dry their sneakers. Don't put the sneakers in the dryer.
What happens if you do?
It's mostly that the heat from the dryer can sort of like warp and melt the rubber parts.
Oh God.
And you don't want that.
Yeah.
It also makes a terrible racket.
I mean, that's dryers are allowed to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, and that's solvable, but we'd really just air dry them. Now here, there's a trick for air drying sneakers.
Tell me more.
You pull the tongue back over the toe of the shoe because that allows more air circulation to get into the inside of the shoe, and it won't damage the
insole?
The tongue.
Do you take the insole out or keep it in?
Depends. Either's fine.
Keeping it in is fine.
Yeah, totally fine. You can also take the insoles out and just wash those if you're having a foot odor problem.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I'm sure
that's,
people have
well,
that.
That's another episode for another day.
Oh,
and also,
God.
we did that like maybe about 5 episodes
Honestly,
or so ago.
I don't have a foot odor problem, so I'm not worried. But it seems like someone might.
Yeah,
but,
a lot of people do. And we'll do another one of those because there's always just more to say.
Yeah, of course.
And always new.
That's
listeners.
Life. There's always more to say.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the great thing about the show. It's like, but I mean, I've been doing this job for almost 7 years. It's going to be 7 years in March.
That's crazy.
And, yeah, it is crazy. And I want to promise you guys, like, I have whatever the opposite of a 7 year itch is. Like, I am like so. Fired
You're
up.
More locked in now than ever.
I'm so fired up to take this thing to the next level. Like, I just like hit my stride this year, and like
I feel like when we first reconnected was when you really like were like, I want to run. I want to run so hard.
And like right now, it's like I'm running. Like,
and then you're gonna wash your sneakers.
and then I'm gonna wash my sneakers. Exactly. That was great.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's
it was
talk.
Okay.
No, it was really good. It was really good. Let's talk about the deep cleaning stuff because this is where Susie comes in. So Susie's got the general stuff down. I mean, look, she is an ideal student. Like she's
like
doing this
girlfriend.
Regularly. Her man thanks her. He pays attention. Like I love this
I
couple.
Hope so.
I want to officiate the wedding. Maybe
I don't love the got in the shower with the sneakers as a cleaning method approach.
Well, here's the thing. I know exactly what he was doing. He was trying to rinse off all of the grit and dirt so that it didn't stain. And that's actually a pretty smart thing to do.
You really like Susie.
I like both of them.
Maybe I like Susie so much I don't like her boyfriend.
Oh, is that what's
it
going
could be
on?
That sort of thing.
Okay,
we got Susie. Let me know if you want some Dobby pads.
We got.
You know what I mean? I got you, girl. Hit me up.
All right. So let's talk about the deep cleaning stuff because this is where Susie comes in. All right, Susie. Yes, this is your chance, girl. Go buy that saddle soap because exactly, saddle soap is going to be great for this. So listen, for regular sneaker care, saddle soap is way, way, way beyond what you need for it. Saddle soap is exactly what it sounds like. It's soap that is designed for the cleaning of leather saddles, which get incredibly dirty, right? Because they get dirty from the human sitting on it. They get dirty from the horse.
How old is
standing,
this stuff?
Standing
it's like been
under
around
it,
for a while.
And they get dirty from the course of riding, because riding a horse kicks up a lot of dirt. Saddle soap has been around for ages.
I like that. Yep. I like that it's been around. Like it started then and it's still there.
Yes.
You know? Like it just hasn't lost its value. Like technology has increased to the point like where I have a small computer in my hand right now, but we're like Saddle soap. Been mastered.
Exactly. I mean,
that's the way the Dobie pad will be in like 100 years.
Exactly. So saddle soap comes in a tin just like shoe polish does. Kiwi, which is, you know, sort of my go-to brand of shoe polish and so on. Kiwi makes saddle soap, but plenty of other brands do. It comes in a little tin. What you do is you'll need a soft cloth, like an old t-shirt is perfect for this. You will get the cloth damp, not wet, as I love to say. You'll rub it in a circular motion on the top of the saddle soap in its tin. It will sort of lather up. You do not need a lot. A little bit of saddle soap goes a long way.
And eventually
you're going to have to rinse it away. So don't overdo it, because otherwise you'll be rinsing for the rest of your life. So as you're rubbing, maybe like three passes along the top of the tin of saddle soap. Once you've got a little lather on there, just go. You can always go back and add more. But people have a tendency to overuse products, so I like to put a little fear of God.
We think more is more.
We think more detergent or more soap equals more clean, and it actually doesn't. This is the example I love giving. Actually, I met some guys at Coney Island a couple weeks ago, making some friends.
Oh, this story is getting crazy.
Making some friends. And one of them owns a laundromat, and that we got to talking about what I do.
Guys, come on. I guess it's good that that we own our own businesses.
It was great.
Let's diversify.
It was two guys. So the other guy who doesn't own the laundromat was like, yeah, I drop all my laundry off. And he always treats me well, gives me extra soap, and I'm like, no, not extra soap. And they were like, why?
Maybe that was a euphemism.
And I was like, okay, think of it this way: if someone handed you a drinking glass that had just been washed and there was soap still all over it, you wouldn't say that was clean.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it's the same thing with your clothes. If your clothes come back and they're still full of soap, you don't see that in the way you see it in a drinking glass. But actually, it has all of these other effects on clothes when you have detergent buildup in them that I will talk about at length come September when I do laundry school, because I'm doing laundry school again.
That's great.
So that's the thing about not overusing. So what you're going to do is you're going to use your soft cloth. You're going to do circular motion, get a little lather on the cloth, and then you're going to do the same thing right on the shoe. You're going to do circular motion, lather, wipe away, check to see how clean it is, keep repeating. The other thing that you might want to add to this process is a shoe brush. So there are all different classes of shoe brushes, and when we get into the next question, I'm going to talk about a different one. For this process, you just want a standard shoe brush that's for leather. You can find those really anywhere. I mean, at the drugstore, at places like Target or Walmart.
How much is a shoe brush run?
Probably about $6.
Worth it.
Yeah. The other thing I want to mention are these kind of fancy shoe cleaning kits. Jason Mark is kind of the big one. You know, Jason
Mark 2Ks.
Yeah. It's Jason M-A-R-K-K. 2Ks.
Very cool. 1K away from being very dangerous.
Yeah.
So far, so good. Jason Mark K with 3Ks is a completely different guy. Do not look him up.
Listen, those kits are really great. You don't need them at all. They're not super expensive, but
everyone's got to make a living.
They're not cheap. Yeah, no. Listen, I know, no hatred for the kit. I think they're great. I just want to level with you guys. You don't need them, because things like dish soap and saddle soap work perfectly fine. But a lot of people like to have the kits. And here's the other thing that's really great about the kits, and actually the biggest reason I advocate for them: they're great gifts. They're great gifts. So, like, if I was giving Cho a gift, I would probably buy him.
Your friendship is gift enough.
But at some point in our...
Also, you let me borrow your vacuum for, like, 2 months.
This is also true, yes. Actually, someone else has it now. One of my Jezebel gals has it right now. I'm just passing that thing all around New York City.
What a hussy. The vacuum,
yeah, the
not
vacuum,
you.
Not me.
Not you. Of course not.
I think that they make really great gifts for for, you know, people who are super into their sneakers. If so, if someone's getting a pair of sneakers for, you know, a birthday or holiday and you want to have a small add-on, or you just want to
stocking stuffer.
Yeah, stocking stuffer, anything. I think
holiday
they,
stuffer.
I think, yeah, exactly. I think they make really great gifts.
I'm assuming you can use the leather brush for, like, leather jackets or other leather clothing items.
Yes.
Leather chaps.
Ugh. Yes, exactly.
The Cowboys guys.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna have you read this next question from Dino. Also, I just wanted to say
I'm reading it as Dino.
His name just thrilled me when this question came in. I was super, super excited.
I'm assuming it's Dino. I'm assuming he's a dinosaur. It's short for Dino.
All right, you can read it that way. I'll allow it.
So Dino asks, so I've made the biggest mistake of my life with a pair of my favorite shoes. Hey, shout out to that great life. Your biggest mistake was a pair of something with your shoes. Your life's dope. You may say how they're your favorites and you used to, wait.
How are they? Sorry.
How are they your favorites and you use them to paint at a friend's house? Dumbest move ever. So yeah, I got paint on my Nike Fly and it's, that does sound tricky. Because they're fabric and they're not leather.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I got a lot to say about your fly knits.
Another friend caught me in my laundry room trying my hardest to take the paint off, which worked in some areas, but as you know, knitted shoes have a lot of tough areas.
I do know that.
Hey, all these guys are Googling. These people are really polite. You have great readers.
Oh my God, the best. I mean, just amazing.
Yeah. Hey, way to go, Dino.
I realize that, like, this is so cliched now, but, like, it really is true. I am so blessed in this job. Like, it just...
But you're helping them, too.
Yeah. So, no, but that's...
It's a good transactional relationship.
But that's part of the blessing, is I get to help people every day, and I get so much love and respect back for it. And it's, like, it's the only thing that keeps me going right now, that, like... Not everything is terrible and not everyone is terrible. There is still good in this world.
Honestly, that is
right here in this little studio. In this little Ask a Clean Person universe I've created, there is good in the world.
Well, that's also why I ask you questions, because I always feel like you do genuinely like helping. And if I was like, hey, I feel like just super disorganized and like I just like I need to clean my apartment to like make me feel better. I feel like you would like run over with like crazy supplies.
I've done that
with saddle oil.
I've done that for people. Literally,
yeah,
I've made
how. But
I
like
made,
you would do it like with excitement,
with joy,
because it's also like weirdly like it's like if someone like told me like, oh, I feel horrible. Can you eat a hamburger? I'd be like, yeah, of course I can, because I love eating hamburgers.
Exactly.
But I'm sorry, Dino.
Okay.
We're digressing.
No, that's okay.
Dino says,
good digression.
I found an article of yours about knit sneakers and tried everything you said, and it has helped to an extent. Now I have very bright, clean shoes with paint spots on them. Honestly, Dino, that might look cool too. Who knows?
Yeah.
I'll try one more time with the rag and cool water since it helped in some areas, but my patience is deaf running low. What do you say? And they're being re-released on the 27th of this month.
I love that. The last part made me so happy. Like, this guy really loves his sneakers.
Well, the good news is, what you're saying will work, obviously.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, hey, save up your money. Maybe buy a new pair of sneakers.
Exactly.
Treat yourself.
Exactly. So, okay. So, knit sneakers are indeed a difficult animal. I think we went pretty long in the first segment. I'm going to actually kick to break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about what to do about general knit sneaker care. This stuff that Dino already knows because he read that article. But I do want to go through all of it with you guys. And then I'm going to talk about the thing that I think he should use for the paint removal. So Cho and I are going to be right back with more on that. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr. I'm here with David Cho, and we've been talking about sneakers. I am going to now answer this question from poor Dino with his knit sneakers. I love just like the pathos of this article. This question was so great, too. All right, so let's start out with the general care for knit sneakers. And if you want a reference, you can go back. There's an Esquire column from earlier this year on the subject. So if you want to go back to it, you can find all of this stuff. Before I get into the tools and the steps you'd take to clean a pair of knit sneakers, I want to give you the two things that I need you guys to be looking out for when you're cleaning your knit sneakers. The biggest issue with knit sneakers is snagging. So I really want you to be super mindful with whatever you're doing with cleaning that they will snag easily. The other thing is, it takes patience to clean a pair of knit sneakers in a way that it doesn't necessarily take patience to clean leather ones. Like Susie's doing her man sneakers.
They're much more durable.
Exactly. And so it's much easier.
Honestly, though, life is better with patience, too. So don't count that out.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of these cleaning principles can be applied to life. I'm sorry. That's my last interruption.
No. That was a great point, and I totally agree. I think that's a good thing for us all to keep in mind.
Back to Dino.
They do say that patience is a virtue. So this is the kind of thing when you want to clean your knit sneakers. This is the kind of thing that's good to do when you're like sitting in front of a baseball game or maybe listening to a podcast or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be a super fast thing. It's a little tedious, but like if you can multitask with something that you also don't have to pay like total close attention to. Podcasts are great. Baseball also great.
Because like, it's long and boring and uninteresting.
Well, yeah.
Sorry, baseball.
I mean, I like baseball, but I kind of like it because it's long and boring and I can putter and do other stuff.
Yeah, you know, that's putter like, around.
Yeah. Well, and also because I'm a Red Sox fan, so
there's that whole
Boston element of things. Okay. So with that out of the way, let me talk to you about the tools that you're going to need for this operation. You are going to need the following. You're going to need a small bowl. You're going to need cool water. You're going to need a mild detergent. Again, a dish soap would be great. Liquid laundry detergent would be great. Dr. Bronner's is fine. All of those. You're going to need two or more soft cloths. I'm going to get into why you need two or more later. You're going to need a soft brush, like a toothbrush or a suede brush, but not a leather shoe brush. So in the first segment, I talked about the general shoe brushes. Those are designed for use on leather, and leather is much more durable. Whereas when you're talking about suede or you're talking about a knit sneaker, those are much finer and more delicate fabrics, and the leather brush is just going to be way too harsh on them, and it's just going to tear things up.
Don't do it, Dino.
So either a suede brush or an old soft bristled toothbrush would be great. Here are the steps. This is not rocket science at all, but the steps are important.
I always feel like that expression is so mean to rocket scientists. It's
like,
yeah, sending a rocket into space is really hard.
Of course. I know a rocket scientist too. So yeah, I should eradicate that from my lexicon. Okay, so the first step is you're going to dilute the detergent into the bowl of cool water. Make sure that you leave headspace. You want to leave about half of the bowl open because you got to get in there with your tools and your rags, and you don't want to be splashing everywhere. Generally speaking, that headspace is something you always want to be aware of.
Is that a technical term, headspace?
Yes.
Huh.
Step number two, remove the laces. Remove the laces. You got to do that to get them clean. You also are going to need to stuff the shoe with one of the balled up cloths. When I talk about cloths, an old T-shirt that you've cut up would be great for this. A microfiber cloth would be great for this. An old washcloth would be great for this. Basically, the idea is you just want to be able to stuff something in there that's going to serve two purposes. The first is it's going to absorb liquid. And the second is that it's going to provide resistance as you're cleaning, because the knit sneaker, again, is a more delicate animal than the leather sneaker. It doesn't provide resistance of its own. Step number three is you're going to take your second cloth, the one that's not stuffed inside the shoe, and you're going to dip it in your solution and wring it out so that it's sudsy and wet but not dripping. And then you're going to scrub using gentle but firm pressure. Again, be mindful that knit sneakers can snag very easily, and be gentle but firm, like parenting. Gentle but firm.
Yeah, good parents.
Step number four, repeat as needed. You will probably need to repeat this several times. As Dino found out when he was doing his paint triage, like he was just going over it and over and over and over, and they got clean, but it took a lot of passes. That's probably just going to be the nature of the knit sneaker. After you're done, you're happy with how clean they are, Rinse the shoe by going over it with a clean cloth. You can bring out the one you've been using and rinse out all the suds. Go over the shoe with a cloth dipped in clean water. You want to remove the detergent because the detergent, if you leave it behind, will create a little bit of dinginess on the shoe, and you don't want that.
Yeah. Or cleaning them. You don't want them to be dingy
right.
when you're done.
Exactly. Which goes back to that thing about the having the soap residue left in your clothes. It'll make them look dingy if there's soap hanging around in there.
I think I do that all the time.
I mean, listen, everybody does it. Everybody does it. It's
embarrassing
very normal.
For all of us.
No, it's not. No. It's totally normal. I'm just here to like drill it into you guys that like this is a thing I don't want you doing and that you don't want to be doing to yourself. Okay, so let's get into why I mentioned the toothbrush. Generally speaking, don't use the toothbrush unless you really have to. The circumstances under which you're going to be using the toothbrush on your knit shoes is only when they're badly soiled. When you've done that full cleaning thing, you've done several passes and there's still like one dirty spot. That's when you bring out, I mean, literally in this case, the toothbrush is the big gun. So that's when you bring it out. Because the knit sneaker is just so prone to snagging, even a soft bristled toothbrush could snag it.
Great news for our teeth, though.
Right. Be very, very, very gentle with the toothbrush if you're using one so that you avoid snagging, pilling, fraying, all of that stuff. When you're done cleaning it, pat the sneaker dry with a dry cloth or towel and then let it air dry. And remember that tip where you pull the tongue back over the toe of the foot to let air dry.
But it's not that wet, right?
No. But you know, the thing is, they're absorbent and... Because yeah. they're, you know, it's fabric.
Just don't put them on right away, Dino.
Right, you got to let them dry. Okay, now...
Dino would never do that.
Now, I almost didn't give these instructions because I really don't want you guys using them. But I'm going to give them because I'm a benevolent overlord.
Don't love that language. You're just a nice person.
Machine washing. I would prefer that you not machine wash your knit sneakers. Again, it goes into the snagging thing. But if you must, here's what I need you guys to do with them. I need you to put each sneaker into an individual mesh washing bag. Do not put them in together. Don't put them in together. Put them in their own individual mesh bags. Take the laces out. Put the laces into their own bag. You want everything separated. Like when you and your best friend were talking too much in eighth grade Latin class and you had to be separated. That's what we're going for here now. Not that I ever got kicked out of eighth grade Latin class. I sure did.
What a weird thing to brag about, you fucking nerd.
I was sitting in the back of the class talking.
So cool.
And I got kicked out of eighth grade Latin class.
Here's a related question. So okay. Fly knits are completely, they're an organic material. That's like, it's a sustainable
it's
shoe.
It's a thing.
How does that affect your, like, should you be more? Cost of, like, are those materials?
No, I don't think it makes
they
that much
tend
of
to be the same as like a regular cotton or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, they're all temperamental, so it's like the advice is all the same,
just like us guys.
And then, exactly. And then air dry, pull the tongue back there. So there's your machine washing. All right, now Dino, I got you covered with the paint removal.
This is what I'm here for. I'm curious about this.
Okay, you need a product called Motzenbacher's Liftoff. There are multiple formulas of Motzenbacher's Liftoff. I'm going to spell Motzenbacher for you guys. Dino, I don't know what kind of paint you are using, but you do. And there are two different paint formulas. So buy the paint formula that's right for the kind of paint you are using to paint. Motzenbacher's is spelled MOTSENBOCKER'S, Motzenbacher's.
They need a better name for that, honestly. It's like, you need to upgrade that, Motzenbacher's. Just come up with a name that's easier to spell.
Well, the website is Liftoff.
Oh, great. Okay, so yeah. Sorry. I retract that. Sorry.
Yeah.
Motzenbacher's, you guys are doing a great job.
Yeah.
Liftoff.com is great.
Yeah,
or
Liftoff
whatever
is great.
It is.
So here's the thing. There are lots of other products and techniques for removing paint removal. We don't have time for all that today because we still have stuff to talk about, which is great. This episode has like exceeded my expectations. I'm super excited about it. The reason that I specifically mentioned Motzenbacher's is a couple months ago, the head of content at Acast, my podcasting network, Caitlin Thompson, who also is a very dear friend of mine, got some paint on a pair of khakis that she really loved. And she was like, look, if I have to lose them, they're just khakis. It's not that big a deal. But like, I really like
these. Hey, let's not lose things.
And she was like, and they fit really well and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, you just need Motzenbacher's Liftoff. She went to the hardware store. She got it. It took the paint right off. So I know it works. And another episode down the line, I'll do a whole thing about paint Because that actually is a...
What's the application and, like, removal process for the shoes?
Basically, the same as clean... That was a really good question.
Cloths.
Basically, the same exact as cleaning them. You're just going to swap in the Mottenbachers for the detergent solution.
Okay. Yeah. So two soft cloths.
Exactly. Yeah.
Clothes.
So same technique, just a different product, which brings us perfectly into this last part. So we're going to run a little late today...
No,
this is my fault, because I knew actually that this was that I had too much to say on these topics
that's fine.
I loaded this episode.
We're
but
doing
that's
a great
okay.
job. Everyone's having fun.
Yeah. So this episode's gonna be a little longer than usual today, which is A-okay. Let's do about 10-15 minutes more and then we'll do our bonus. I also want to be cognizant of not asking you to spend more time on me than
this is great. The later the better. I have dinner in an hour. So.
Oh, perfect. Oh, good. Then I won't worry. Okay. So I want to tell you guys about, or I'm actually going to have Cho tell you about, a problem he texted me with a couple days ago. And then I'm going to talk about what the solution was, but more importantly, I'm going to talk about how he approaches figuring out the solution.
I feel like I'm going to say the wrong thing.
You're not going to say
because I don't know what I'm doing that you like. You kept that from me.
I'm going to tell that part. You don't need to worry about what you're doing that I like. You just tell them the problem about your cooking garbage bag.
Yeah. So okay. I mean, essentially, I like to when I'm cooking or whatever. Like you know, like let's say you cook garlic and they're like the ends of the garlic that you cut off or like the ends of whatever, right? I like to put that stuff in a garbage bag, like in a separate paper bag or something like that, or any sort of bag in my home.
Right.
So that I can just throw that away. It doesn't sit in my garbage can for weeks or whatever, however long
exactly.
it takes me to fill out my garbage can. And so...
And you use like the Whole Foods paper bag.
Yeah.
And that's what I do with my recycling, because I don't want recycling sitting around just because my apartment's so small.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just use like... the plastic like bodega bags or the
Whole
Foods paper
I'll
bags.
I'll use whatever
the last bag is. That's what I use and I take my recycling down every day.
Yeah.
It's great.
And it's so I did that. And like normally I'm pretty cognizant of like, okay, if I have what's in there, then like let's just take that out right now. You know, let's not whatever. Somehow last week, I guess, like something had gotten in, which I think it's weird. I think it might have been something a little greasy, like very sneaky wetness, like
Ooh.
Something I hadn't expected.
Oof.
And then I lifted up the bag and it kind of stuck. I was like, oh, fuck me. And then because there's that little like very light sticking on the thing.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You're like, oh, this is going to be a mess.
Yeah. Or it was just like, I was like, you made a mistake, you dumb. And so then I took it, threw it away. And then that's a lie. I actually haven't thrown it away because I put it on top of another box because I was like, this bag doesn't have that much stuff on it. It's still not wet. I don't know. Maybe I'm gross.
No, that's fine.
I shouldn't be on this podcast.
No, you should be. Listen,
because I make the mistakes.
I say this all the time. You know, first of all, mistakes happen. We all make them. I threw up on my own feet a few months ago and all over my floor that I had literally just washed like several hours before. Shit happens in life.
Yeah.
Like, so life is too short. This is also like just another general piece of advice.
I'm sorry you threw up.
I know it was terrible. I got food poisoning. It was really a bad experience, but great content for the show. I've told that story about 7,000 times on this show already.
Aww.
My poor listeners are like, stop talking about the time you threw up on your feet, Joels. So here's the thing. In cleaning, as in life, mistakes happen. Don't be hard on yourselves. Life is hard enough without you beating yourselves up for mistakes, okay? I really, truly mean this. I don't want you doing that. I get your letters, and sometimes it really breaks my heart how hard you are on yourselves. And I want you to not be so hard on yourself, because I'm not ever going to be hard on you. So
Aww.
I'm just going to help. That's
Aww.
What I'm here to do. I'm not here to bust anyone's balls. I'm here to help and like spread a little love around this world, and we could sure use it right now. So don't even worry about it. Here's the other thing. If you all weren't gross, I would not have a job, and I love this job. So please keep being gross. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. So should I tell you what I did?
So yeah. Okay. So here the end result was that he ended up with a stain on his wood floors. Now there's an extra thing about his floors. He has a specialty finish on his wood floors.
It's like a matte finish.
Right. So that's an important thing for him to take into consideration in terms of both the products and the tools that he's using to clean his floor so that he doesn't ruin the finish.
Yes.
So, okay. So tell the people what you did.
So my first move was I tried a mild detergent in you know, the liquid seventh generation dish soap that I have. Yep. And I use that on Adobe. I use that on one side of the Adobe pad.
Yep.
And so I tried to get that off and it really wasn't coming off. And I was like, what the fuck? And then, so then I stepped up one level more. I don't think I even, wait, I stepped up one level more. I used the cleaner that comes with the wood,
right,
which is the Bona, whatever.
Yeah.
Wood, so, which usually works, I guess.
Which also, one of my favorite hairpin jokes ever. My favorite hairpin joke ever was a Sylvia Plath oven cleaning joke,
okay.
which I said, basically stick your head inside the oven. This is the fun part, Sylvia.
Yeah.
Hairpin readers really loved that one. I think the second best one was that I was talking about cleaning floors and I talked about Bona and I was like, anyone here who's from New England is laughing like a 13-year-old right now because to us, the brand name Bona has a whole other meaning.
Hey, I think we all get a good boner joke.
Yeah, we love
that's
it.
Not, that's not limited to the Northeast.
Well, but the point is if...
Because Sully says it like that.
Right, that's a thing. To us, the word boner is not pronounced boner. It's a Bona. Like that's what you call it. So
right.
Like, yeah, so that cleaning product just makes me laugh every time. But it's also a very, very, very good cleaner. Very, very Bona, sponsor me. Very excellent floor cleaner. So because Cho has this specialty finish, who recommended it to you? Your contractor?
Yeah, the person who.
Yeah. Basically, the people who did the installation was like, you need to be using this specific cleaner on these so that you don't ruin
it. Is that actually true?
That you need to be using that specific one.
Like, I mean, I'm sure that there. What happens if I use like whatever Pine Sol or something like that?
I'm sure that there are other ones that are fine, but it's probably just that the Pine Sol will change the, because you know, things like Pine Sol are meant to shine up a floor. So if you've got a matte finish, you don't want to use that.
Yeah, I
so,
don't. You're right. So then, I think I told you this part, right? So then it still isn't going away, and
right.
I used a little bit of Lest Oil,
right?
Which is a thing that you told me to buy for something at one point. I think for like, what was it?
I think
for?
You had a grease stain. I mean,
yeah.
You must have, because Lest Oil is a
thing.
Oh,
yeah.
So Lest Oil and Pine Sol are actually very similar products. The fact that it didn't ruin the finish is actually good news. It does probably mean that you could use anything. But stick with the, you know,
but I did use Lest Oil because in the past when I've had situations where there are stains that are hard, it's always been really good for me.
Right.
And so I used that on the other side of the Adobe that I didn't use the previously.
Right. You also said something really important that I want to point out. That you used a very, very small amount
of
it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, because I didn't want to fuck up my floor.
Exactly. So, okay. So let me talk to you guys about the four elements to consider when you're tackling a cleaning product. And this is what Cho does. You don't realize you do this, but I realize you do it.
Which is?
And I think it's going to be really illuminating for people to hear. That basically, in no particular order, the four elements that you want to be considering are the cleaning products that you're using, right? So Cho started with dish soap, then he moved up to floor cleaner, then he added a little Lest Oil. He also did something so smart that I love and that I always advocate for. Always start with the mildest, cheapest, and most readily available product you have. Start small and go big. Don't bring out the big guns to start unless you 100% are looking at a mess going, oh, there's no way. You know, unless if you've got red food coloring on your floor, yeah, don't even bother with the dish soap. But if it's a stain and you're not quite sure, start with the mildest, cheapest, most readily available option and then move your way up. I want to also get people off of reaching or running out to the store to buy a specialty product every single time there's a mess. Oftentimes you don't need a specialty product, which goes right back to our cleaning sneakers. You don't need the fancy sneaker cleaning kit. It can be fun and good to have for sure, but like dish soap, you know?
The thing you like about me is that I'm just really lazy. Like,
no, you're
you
not.
You use things that are in your house that are readily available.
No. I want everyone to take the path of least resistance. This is what I want people to do. And
I believe
and
in
don't,
that
and
life.
Yeah, and don't overthink it. Like really, the simpler, the better. This is really my philosophy about cleaning. So that's kind of my spiel on the products. The second element to consider, and again, this isn't in no order because they're all really equal and they work in concert with one another, are the tools and techniques you're using. So Cho loves his Adobe pad, and he's using a technique where he is gentle because he doesn't want to ruin the floor. Like he wasn't scrubbing away at that. He was gentle and he used patience. That's the technique part of things. The third element is the mess in need of cleaning. In this case, Cho realized, oh, this is a greasy mess. So I need to take grease into consideration when I'm cleaning this up. And the fourth element is the surface or material in need of cleaning. In his case, it's his floor with the specialty finish. So if you guys can approach your cleaning problems by thinking about the solution as having each of those four elements, you will have a lot more success in terms of distilling. I give you a lot of information on these shows and in my columns, and a lot of them are, it's in response to a very specific problem. But you can distill out from that information what you need for your product, your problem, if you consider those four elements. So what's the mess in need of cleaning? What's the surface or material in need of cleaning? What tools and techniques do I need to be using, and what products do I need to be using? And you can mix and match, and you can take all of the things that you've learned from listening to, you know, hours and hours of me rambling on this show, and you can become a cleaning, like, badass. Like, Cho is literally a cleaning.
That's not true.
Yeah, no, it is. Like, nope. You guys, he's like bashful right now. I'm really 100% mean this. I'm always so impressed with not only like how much you've learned and how you go out and you use the JolieCare Google trick, which is the JolieCare Google trick is just Google any JolieCare space, like any problem you have.
Yeah.
And you probably will find a solution. And if you don't, please email me because, God, I...
Sometimes there's like a few solutions. I'm like, wait, in this one you say this and that one you say that. Yeah. You're like, oh, that was just the editor. They changed it.
Right. Yeah, sometimes that happens. But no, I'm always just really impressed by it. And I'm also impressed with the... you know, I said in your intro that you asked really probing questions of me. And you do. You ask really interesting follow-up questions. You're very thoughtful about it. And I really enjoy it, and it's been fun. I'm glad we reconnected after you got back from LA.
Well, I think it's good to know understand how things work and like why they work, because then you actually can apply it to other stuff.
Exactly.
You know, like when you explain to me like why, like this is the one of the best things you ever told me. I was like, oh, I have this thing. I'm like traveling. I have a stain on something. You're like, do you have contact solution? Just use that. Like you can use that for like most. Like I think it was like I might have been like blood on a shirt or something like that.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
it was
that'll
blood.
Help.
I remember that.
Start getting the thing out if nothing else works, then you're like, and then read this and then like follow those things. And it's like, once you told me that, I was like, oh, anytime I have any stain on like a durable thing, start with contact solution.
Right.
Because if it works with that, then
right,
great.
Because salt is a very good stain remover and saline solution obviously is salt. So.
Honestly, like, also contact solution is just easier to do than salt. Like,
it's so much easier because it's in a dropper.
Thing. Yeah,
it's like, already diluted in water and it's in a dropper.
And
it's like,
it's super the
easiest
easy
thing in
the world to put out. Like, you can also like control the amount really well,
absolutely,
which I like.
Yep.
It's like you don't have to fuck your shit up.
100%.
And if you wear contacts, you have it all the time.
You always have it.
Always there.
Always. Yeah, I'm a contact lens wearer. Listen, Cho, we ran long and this was great. No, it's not a problem at all. I mean, it's a podcast, it can be as long as I want.
Yeah.
This was so fun. I really hope you'll come back.
The next time Dave leaves,
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you're a great replacement, Dave.
I hope it was okay, guys.
You're awesome.
I
100% promise I'm going to get great feedback on
this.
I have a good sense of like what makes a good episode. This was great.
I know we're long, but what do you think Dino did? Because it's the 27th right now. So like, do you think
waited? That's the crazy thing is that we're literally recording on the day when they... I'm going to maybe email him back.
Yeah, yeah. Or tweet at us or something. Just like, please, I'm curious to know what... Like,
okay.
I care about Susie, obviously, like emotionally, but I'm curious about what Dino did.
Okay. I'm going to email him back and just be like, we used the question and we were super excited. We want to find out what you did.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, great. Well, listen, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. If you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards we're offering to our listeners. If you like David Cho, please let us know because I want to make sure he comes back. David, thank
honestly,
you
if you don't, so... don't let us know.
Yeah, no, don't. No nasty feedback.
Actually, I want to get better at things. So if this sucked, maybe send some feedback and just be like, hey, interrupt her less. Hey, be cleaner. Hey, don't, you know, whatever. Just, I'd
okay,
like
cool.
To know.
I like that attitude in life. I think that's
let's
really
all get
great.
Better.
Cho, thank you so much truly for being here and for, I mean, just literally like you gave me my life because you created the hairpin.
Oh, stop.
And like, this job is my life.
That was going to work no matter what.
This is just amazing. And this has been also just really, really fun for me. You guys, I would also super love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. Please tell the sneakerhead in your life about this episode. And of course, thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Thank you.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.